$20 a month, or $21 a month when I first got in. The time I got overseas, I got, I think, $10 raise in overseas pay, and I got $10 for combat pay more. So I think I made corporal, I think I was getting $60-some dollars a month.
Okay. And did you receive that money while you were there, or did...
Yeah.
Okay.
They pay us in cash.
Oh, okay. And then what would you do with that money?
I send all back home.
Okay. And how would you send it home?
Through a money order.
Oh, okay.
But you don't send home your base pay. You could send nothing else home, so...
Mm-hmm.
And one place I left $900 laying in a drawer because I figured couldn't change it in those German marks. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't change, but I could have changed a lot if I'd take my lunch back.
Mm-hmm.
Easy come, easy go.
That was cigarette money.
Yeah. Well.
And were most of the men with you, were they single or were they married with families, or did you even know that?
Yeah, most of us single. Well, by behalf of us was married. And the one man, I'll call him old, the old man. He was 36, you know, I was about 18 to 20 years old. So we call him the old man.
Mm-hmm.
He had been in front of me. He had a family of 7 children.
Oh, my.
And one day we got really pinned down. He got killed that day. I really felt bad about that.
Mm-hmm.
He come all that way just before the war, and he got killed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, very few people I really got acquainted with.
Mm-hmm. And what about your commanding officers? Did you even really know them, or?
Not really.
Okay.
We had one second lieutenant come up there one time. We figured he was real green because he'd be right up front with us. He'd go, he would never do anything. He'd never ask us to do anything he wouldn't do. You know, we really liked him. He was,
mm-hmm.
but he was so green, we didn't know he could get away with other stuff. He just done his job, and
mm-hmm.
I really liked him. But then for some reason, he got transferred to, I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. And what unit were you in?
I was in the 357th Regiment.
Okay.
That's part of the 90th Infantry Division. And
90th, you said?
Yeah.
So all the marching that you did when you were in your short basic training served you well?
I guess.
Were you only shooting the rifle, or did you know how to shoot the larger?
No, that's all.
That's not infantry.
You didn't shoot much, I'll tell you. You don't want to expose yourself. You didn't go out, just, some people, you just got to shoot. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
now, I know that you said earlier that you were concerned about or how you were going to remain alive.
Yeah.
What did you learn to help you stay alive?
I don't know, but it just seemed like every time we got replacement, first battle, we'd lose half our replacements because they didn't know how to survive.
Mm-hmm.
If you survive your first battle, you'd last a while.
Okay.
But I have no idea what the deal was, but we just did.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said praying was part of that.
Yeah, I think so.
And also learning certain things like...
Yeah. Like I said, you don't go out and just get out, like, expose yourself, shoot, then they get spotted, then shoot you, you know. You don't,
mm-hmm.
you just wouldn't do that, at least I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was paid off. Now, were you in foxholes?
Yeah. As soon as we stopped, we'd start digging a hole every time.
Mm-hmm.
We might never be able to use a hole, but we always start digging one.
Okay. And how long would it take you? How deep would that hole be?
Well, we'd try to dig it. At least depend how long. We'd stay long enough. We'd put a cover of dirt on top of it, you know, because we'd be in the trees. Shrapnel would always come down. And so we'd try to get a cover on our hole.
Okay. And what would the cover be made of?
Just old logs and brush and dirt.
Oh, okay. And that's where you ate and slept?
We didn't eat in there. We just stayed in there and just, like I said, we never got to use them, bro. We just dig a hole, save a few hours, we'd move on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How was sleeping? You just...
I don't think I slept much. You know, one time it's kind of a bad deal. We'd infiltrate to the German army, and we got come dark, so we dug a hole. And during the night, the Germans go through our area, you know, and I was afraid to fall in a hole. But it was terrible. That, you know, it snowed and it was just warm enough that snow don't get through it. I know I laid one about that deep hole when I'd sleep. You'd sleep 2 hours and be on guard 2 hours. There was two men in a hole. I never slept much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never catch a call, caught a cold all the time. I was over there.
Hmm.
I guess living in the element all the time, you just got too used to it. Your body got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
weren't you so tired, though, the next day when you didn't sleep through a night?
Couldn't tell much difference one day to the next.
It was just something you needed to get through.
Yeah.
Well, you would have had your clothes, and you said maybe a blanket?
Yeah, that's all we had. We'd sleep on one blanket, cover with one blanket. That's all we ever had.
Okay. But now all that would get wet, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And then you'd, what,
Like I say, I laid on one side, laid in water all night, you know, and that was the, but I said, I never even caught a cold.
Hmm.
But you was cold.
Mm-hmm.
Miserable.
Mm-hmm. Seems to me like you'd have arthritis or something when it was so cold in your joints.
Maybe that's why I got arthritis today. I don't know.
That could be. That could be. What else do you remember about that period of time before the occupation that you might think might be important for people to know?
I don't know. Like I said, all I ever know is about my own area. What I went on, I don't know. And
mm-hmm.
Like I said, I forgot most of it. It's just some instances that stand out to you, but I forgot most of it.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that stands out that you haven't already told?
Well, I'm sure there is, but I'd have to think a while.
Okay, well, we'll continue to talk, and you might think of something. Okay, so you were in for what I'm calling the year of occupation. And then at the end of that year, you came home.
Yeah.
And as you were coming home, I'm assuming you were on a ship.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you sort of think about your experience and think, okay, my training was sufficient, my training was not sufficient, you know?
I don't think I ever gave it a thought. I was just glad I was still alive. I didn't ponder anything else. Nothing I could do about it anyway, so I just more or less just put it out of my mind.
Mm-hmm. And were your parents aware that you were coming home? Were you able to...
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
And when you got to New York, or...
Yeah, New York. Went and they sent us to Fort Sheridan, just outside Chicago. That's where I was discharged, Fort Sheridan.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got on a train and come home.
And what was the discharge procedure?
Just kind of gave you a physical and paid your pay, or had back pay and stuff, and you're mustering out pay 1 month, mustering out pay, and then we got on a train and started coming home.
Mm-hmm. And you would have been on the train until, what, Montezuma?
No. In Wichita. I changed trains in Wichita. I got on a train. And I don't know, in Newton, I got on the mail train, come through Dodge.
Okay.
Because they just had one coach, the rest was freight train.
Mm-hmm.
And I rode the train to Dodge, and one of my buddies picked me up and brought me home.
Okay. Now, you could just get on any train, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, any train you wanted to get, just so you get home. The way you get home, that was your problem.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't have to have a ticket or anything?
No.
Were there a lot of people? I'm sure there were.
Yeah, there was quite a bunch. I was... got discharged, that they all, in this area, they all got on the same train pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Chicago, got on a train. How we got on, how we got to, I have no idea anymore. But.
Mm-hmm. And when you were coming home, the closer you got, what were you thinking?
Well, I don't remember.
Okay, so you came home. Your parents, of course, were glad to see
yeah.
you, and your 12 brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Now, you must have been toward the younger?
I was third the youngest, yeah.
Okay. And so they all lived around here?
Yeah. Well, I got one sister, she lives down in what's the name of the place? Victoria, Texas, where she lives.
Okay.
It's down South Texas.
All right.
But all my brothers and sisters all live around here. Of course, a lot of them's gone already.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when did you know when you came home that you would step back into farming, or?
Well, I figured that's what I'd do, you
mm-hmm.
know.
And did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure did. Well, then I got the carpenter work. I could make a go farming because it was a bad time. And so I done carpenter work the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's why you moved away.
Yeah, that was one reason I moved away, because carpenter work got real slow here. So my brother-in-law was in Michigan. He talked me into coming to Michigan. I went down there and I couldn't get a job. I was so poor I couldn't come back.
And now tell me again what kind of work you were doing.
Carpenter work.
Carpenter.
Yes.
Okay.
Carpenter.
Building homes,
yeah.
buildings.
Yeah.
And then you stayed in Michigan because you couldn't come home. And then what happened?
Before I went to Michigan, me and my brother talked about going to Arkansas. And I went to see a friend of mine in Georgia. I come back to Arkansas, come down here to see my folks. And I liked it. So I thought, that's where I'm going to go someday. And I did.
And did you do carpenter work there?
Yeah. But I had a cow-calf operation to do what I had.
Oh, okay.
But mm-hmm. I had to do carpenter work, keep the thing going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. When I moved to Arkansas, there people are real clannish, you know. I thought I'd get a job. He said, I know I've seen your work, do good work, but I got a friend at Scotland, I'll let him do the work.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I did some remodel for a Catholic church after, I never had luck for a job.
Mm-hmm.
People knew my work, so I see a lot, met a lot of people, you know. I never had luck for a job after that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Arkansas, it's, rides are cheap in Arkansas, but
yeah.
But there's a lot of people that are retired in Arkansas. I mean, there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, I met a lot of those old fellows that have been in Arkansas, they've been all over the world, always in Arkansas for a while. He said, that's what we come back to.
Mm-hmm.
Because taxes was cheap. It's a pretty place to live, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot different from Montezuma, Kansas,
oh, yeah.
though.
No wind, but I sure wish to sometimes I had wind there. You take 100 degrees and 90% humidity, and man, it's hot.
I know.
It's miserable.
It is. It is.
Not a breath of air.
But out here, you get a lot of wind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me look at the questions. Is there a particular fellow soldier or an officer or an individual that you have a particular memory about? And
not really. Just like this Angel Rodriguez. Yeah, Angel was his name. Said Jesus, Angel Rodriguez was his name. The only thing I remember about him is that he was just a good buddy of mine. We've been there together for so long.
Mm-hmm. And how long were you with him after you went over?
Well, all the time overseas.
Really?
Yeah, we was the same platoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then even then you didn't get to see him much because he was always with, he was a radio man. He always had to be with the officer of the our lieutenant, you know, our platoon leader.
Mm-hmm.
He was always with him, so I didn't get much contact with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you were just an infantryman.
Yeah.
You didn't get to go into radio or anything
oh,
like
no,
that?
Oh, no.
Did you ask to or want
no,
to?
Never in my head. There wouldn't have been a chance, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you look back at that experience, what do you think about that whole experience?
Well, my conclusion, war ain't the answer to anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I suppose the war ended all the way, been the war ever since, it seemed like.
Yeah. And it's certainly, we fight differently now, don't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. And the women and children get the brunt end of a war. They get the bad end of it. Really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now, are you from the Mennonite tradition?
Yeah.
And that's a pacifist.
Yeah.
So did it bother you to be drafted? And
oh, yeah. Because I knew I could never kill a man. That was just something I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, would some of the young men or some of your friends here, would they have not gone to war but been a conscientious objector?
Yeah, there's a few. They'd be in the medic, maybe a medic or something like that.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, at that time, I was just a young kid running around having a big time. I figured there's no use me trying to get into the objectors.
Mm-hmm.
Like my brothers all did. They'd done service in, you know, camps. Like they'd done lots of conservation work, and that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. So they would have gone to different places in the United
yeah.
States working.
Yeah. He said it was the Dewey people water in Nebraska for a while, in Oregon someplace, then in Three Rivers, California,
mm-hmm.
working in parks.
And would that have been for a certain period of time or the duration of the war?
Duration. They was there for 4 years.
Okay.
And, you know, they never got paid or anything. Well, I think the church paid them $5 a month.
Oh, okay. They didn't get paid.
Oh.
Hmm. Well, so what did your family think? Did they want you to not go?
Oh, yeah, they didn't want me to go at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I'd have to go. There's no way I could get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Were you the only one that did go to war in your family?
Yep.
Your younger brother didn't have to?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's see. Now you'd be thinking if there's anything else. What would you say to a young person today, because now of course young women go, if they said, well, I'm going to join up with the Army or the Marines, what would you say to them?
Says you better give it a lot of thought if you don't. You know, I had a son done the same thing. He went in Vietnam, you know. He said, well, I'm going to get dressed, I'm going to join the Marines. If he had waited, the war had been over. He got wounded real bad.
Yeah.
And he's got problems. He got exposed to Agent Orange, you know, and it's really bothered. He's got like leukemia now.
Oh,
doctors gave him 2 years to live, and he's really got bad problems.
Hmm. Yeah, that was a tough war too, wasn't it?
I told him, I said, you don't know what you're getting into. Oh, he said, oh, it won't be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you'll find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You didn't have much training.
No.
But did you think what you had served you well once you got there?
I don't think you just learn on the job.
Fast learner.
Yeah.
Okay. And the medals that you received, would you have received those at the time or when you got home?
When I got home, when I got discharged, that's when I got those.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm looking for something else. Oh. All right, and do you know specifically what they were for, like the Victory Medal?
I guess just what the war was over, that's the
okay. Color. And you were in the European, African, Middle Eastern theater, but basically you were in Europe.
Yeah, I was in Europe, yeah.
Okay. And you had 2 Bronze Stars, 2 Overseas, Army of Occupation Medal, Good Conduct, and Purple Heart Medal. Now the Good Conduct basically is that you did what you were told?
Yeah, I guess. Never got in trouble that I know of.
So. Mm-hmm. And once you came home and you came back to this community and then you moved to Michigan and then to Arkansas, did that World War II experience, did you think about it, talk about it, or?
No, never. More or less just try to forget it. That's what I did. I just forgot everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No.
And do you think that was common, that most people just tried to do that?
I think so. I think just tried to forget it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Can you think of anything else that... these, of course, will be typed up. And then probably in the future, researchers about how people felt about the war and what they did will be looking at these. Can you think of anything else that might be important that I have missed, like some detail of daily life or food or anything like that? What about religion when you were, I know that you said you prayed a lot, but was there any formal church services?
Well, there was. They'd have a, everyone also that said they're going to have church services. Anybody wanted to come, they depend on what they were, you know. Especially, I remember the Jews that have a service, because none of us went to their services.
Mm-hmm.
But as being on the front line, I never heard anything like that about being in service anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Was there a chaplain around?
I guess there was one somewhere, but I don't know where he was. I never seen him.
So you just had your own religion with yourself.
Right.
Did you talk with people about religion at all, or
never
praying?
Did.
Yeah.
Never did.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that was because that's how you were raised, or how people were raised at that time?
I think so, more or less.
Mm-hmm. You just kept your feelings and your thoughts to yourself?
Yeah.
When you came back, and did that war experience make you involved more politically as far as...
No, never did.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. Anything else that you can think of?
Not a thought.
Well, okay, I do have a further question, and this is going way back, as when you were born, and then you experienced the 30s, the depression.
Yeah.
Could you maybe talk a little bit about that?
Well, you know, I was just a kid at that time, but when I look back, I realize how bad my folks had, because I know my mother, you know, she'd take those in the winter, she'd make a flour and water paste, and she'd buy strips of the edge of windows, because the dirt come through their beds, you know,
mm-hmm.
try to keep the dirt out of the house. And
but because you were on a farm, you had sufficient food. And
yeah, we never went hungry. It was pretty, my mother, she'd make 13 loaves of bread every other day.
What was it like growing up with 13 children?
We always had a good time. Never, never, people talk about being bored. We was never bored.
Your house must have been full.
Well, I tell you what, my folks moved over. They had 9 children. They moved in a 2-room house. And, well, it's just the living room now, just one room.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 9 children. At night, they'd take the bed springs out in the morning and the mattresses they put on the one bed in my folks' bed. They put all the mattresses on that one bed, take the bed springs, bed stays all outside. And even they drag it back in and put the mattress on and go to sleep. That's mm-hmm. how they lived for a number of years.
Yeah.
Know. And we had a lot of company besides.
So where did your parents come from to Montezuma?
From Los Alamos, Colorado is where they lived.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then they came to Western Kansas.
Yeah. My grandfather homesteaded some ground here, and that's where my folks all originally come from, Central Kansas, where they come from. That's why they moved to Los Alamos, and then they come here.
Mm-hmm.
In 1919, they come here.
Oh. They were early people.
Yeah.
Then.
Mm-hmm. So everything was grass, belly deep the horse, and they put all this stuff on the train, and that came to England or somewhere, I think, and they chased the cows and stuff home, you know, over here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was before my time, so I really don't know what happened.
Right, and then they would have plowed up the...
Yeah.
Okay. What else do you remember about the 30s? Now, were you in school at that time?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And you had to... I'm assuming it was a one-room school?
No, that school here in town.
So. Oh, you came into town to school?
Yeah. They consolidated that in 1928.
Okay.
So before I started school, this was a new school. That was a new school when I started.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I drove the bus all the time to school.
Okay. So you didn't have to walk.
No.
Okay. And then during the 30s, school was still in session.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a short session, right? I mean, because of farm... Well, you weren't farming then.
No. Well, I have to say, one time I was home 6 weeks from school to... I know my dad had some corn in his hand. My three brothers chopped it all off the corn knife, and me and my sister went around, picked that loose fire and big shocks out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrible job.
Yeah.
Windy, tried to start a shocking down all the sad birds. That was a bad deal. Mm-hmm. The hardest I ever worked in my life.
Well, maybe you didn't work as hard because you were one of the younger ones. Would that be right?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as we was able to work, we worked.
So what chores would you have been responsible for?
I usually got at least 3 cows in the morning before I went and fed some calves and separate the milk. Maybe that'd be my chores, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not for, no, I got ready for school. School bus come at 8:30. We had to be ready for school.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it.
And you said your mother baked 13
loaves every other day.
Goodness me.
Man, that still tastes like come home from school, fresh homemade butter, put that on that hot warm bread. Oh, that was good.
I know.
We'd eat about 2 loaves of bread and come home from school.
But you had your own meat because
yeah.
you were on a farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your own milk and cream and
right.
eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, times have certainly changed,
yeah,
haven't
sure
they?
Did.
Yeah. So why did you decide to come back to Montezuma to retire?
My kids insisted, because they all moved. My 2 daughters lived down by Houston, Texas. And the boys, they said, where you live after 6, you can be dead 2 weeks, nobody know it.
And you said you still have relatives around here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else you can think of?
Not really.
Okay. Well, I'm going to turn this off. John Schmidt, June 19th, 2006.